If you are a seeker, you often spend a lot of time looking for these like peak moments when you really know that like God is with you, because there's like, you know, flashing colors, or you're speaking with God and he's answering back almost like an Aya trip. But our guest today gives us a different perspective about how real spirituality can be simply finding peace in the simple moments of life. So, hey, softpreneur, there is magic happening right now because you're here with us and we are well met. So I'm Dawn Petrin and we've got Elisa Jackheim, and together we help the wellness industry's most disruptive and innovative thought leaders express their essence louder and prouder to create more possibility and more profitability. Now it's your turn.
It was really beautiful to speak to our guest this week, Jai Chand, also known as Jai Chambers. And Jai and I met in this like really fun period of like being in Los Angeles yogi spiritual world. And I'm like laughing to myself because at one point Jai was teaching a Kundalini class that Amy Adams attended in West Hollywood. I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's appropriate to be name droppy on this episode because it's like so the opposite of what we talk about. But I think it's really a testament to the fact that Jai, from a really depth of experience with Kundalini energy and spiritual practice, has softened and surrendered into like magnificent moments and things being created. So she's a co-creator, an amazing musician alongside Grayson, part of Jai Chand and Grayson. And when this episode is out, their new album has already dropped. So we really hope you enjoy and are inspired by the way she creates in the world. And we call it the surrendered path to softpreneurship, because things have been created through her in a way that's maybe different and maybe speaks to you if you're listening to this podcast. She's also a farmer with her husband on the island of Kauai. And we talk about listening to the earth and stewardship and the land. And yes, how the path of spirit and softpreneur and how we show up as our best selves to do the work each and every day gets more subtle and requires more surrender as we go. Blessings to you. I know you'll feel blessed by listening to this pod. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Softpreneur Podcast. Today, we are blessed by Jai Chambers hanging out with us to share her wisdom, medicine, and magic. So grateful to see you after many moons and transformations from a magical time when we were both living in Los Angeles. And my son is singing with us today. It must be because Jai is a music maker and also an artist, multifaceted artist, energy worker, sound healer. And we're so excited to speak with you. First question that we always ask is, do you have a spiritual practice? And is there anything you'd like to share with us about it?
Amazing. Amazing question. This has been a topic of conversation in my house for the last month or two. And I would say at this point, everything is my spiritual practice. And although I've come from many different lineages of study, I am realizing more and more that my deepest spiritual practices are walking my dog and going to the grocery store. And yes, I have very specific spiritual things that I do, but my practice, I would say at this point, is everywhere and all around me always.
Yay. I feel like we are so blessed because the people we've asked this question to, that's a lot of the answer. And I think it speaks to the time we live in, where so many of us have gone so deeply into spiritual practices that we've realized that actually it's the everyday that we show up most spiritually, right? Or where spirit needs to come through in order to share and live and be. So the dog thing resonates too, because I have a 7 and a half month or almost 8 month old lab cross. And it is a very spiritual practice to hold space for that rambunctiousness. So thank you so, so, so much for being here and for sharing such a beautiful way of being in the world.
Yeah, I love it. Dawn and I were just talking about this because we know shadow work has become so big, in the wellness spiritual space. And I long story short, I feel like when I do shadow work, I have got a lot of Scorpio and depth in my chart. And it sometimes shakes stuff really intensely in my surroundings. And it's not to say that I don't want to do that, but also having a baby and lots of moving parts, I'm when I do this, this might create some ripples, a car fire I experienced this summer where a lot of my belongings were destroyed, things like that. So anyway, very long story short, Dawn was maybe our day-to-day is just the shadow work, right? Maybe just those challenges, we don't necessarily need to stir the pot and go deep and all the time and beautiful and wonderful, but also just dancing and weaving all of the threads that I think we as women, creators, entrepreneurs, and humans doing this earth thing in this moment is such a invitation constantly.
Yes, there's enough shadow work to work with without even having to dive into that cavern. I feel like so much of the spiritual practice has been so serious, and I'm so deep in my work and I'm going through all of these intense portals and I'm scavenging. It's all of these very intense, over the top things. And actually, it's the simplicity of everything that I feel like that's where the true gems are. It's in the most mundane moments. And I have a very mundane life in a lot of ways, living on a farm, and it's mundane and very spiritual, just tending to the land. And I also have a 9-month-old puppy. So tending to the puppy and tending to the dishes and tending to the most boring, beautiful moments of life.
Right? There's this meme. I'm sure you've seen it, or maybe not. I don't know. But it's everyone wants to do ayahuasca and nobody wants to do the dishes. And it's but the work is truly the dishes day in, day out. You know, it's my partner and I go out for dinner a little bit too much, but it's and he's a chef. He was a chef. He's a carpenter now. And I love cooking and we're all about whole foods and stuff, but it's just actually, we just don't want to do the dishes tonight. We're going to go out for dinner because we just don't want to clean up after ourselves after eating and cleaning up after ourselves and eating and cleaning up for after ourselves. And yeah, I think you don't have to be an entrepreneur for your job to also be part of your spiritual practice. When I was doing my first yoga teacher training, I was waitressing and I went through this thing where I did a year long training, weekends. And I would say about halfway through, I was I hate waitressing or serving or whatever we call it these days. And I had been doing it for probably a decade by that point. And I was I hate it. I just want to be doing the yoga. And then at the end of that training, I was oh, this is the yoga, you know, and I come in and out of that, that still. I used to own a yoga studio. That's how I got into marketing. And at one point I just wrote on my mirror, because the studio was called Tandava, and I was Tandava is my sadhana, because I started beating myself up about oh no, I didn't wake up and chant and then do my asana and then, you know, puja. And I was just what if holding this space was my spiritual practice and I could just give my heart and my spirit to it all of the time? And of course we still need to move our bodies and, you know, be in nature, but it was really freeing for me to claim that as sadhana, as practice.
I can relate to this so much. I mean, everything about the sadhana, and also going through the periods of life where, for me, my whole job always has been my spiritual practice. So that part is a little interesting dance for me. But I have gone through a period where I moved to Kauai and I was working at a juice bar. And I'm but I'm this yoga teacher and I'm this thing and I want to be seen as this thing. And it was the most humbling and grounding thing for me to land in a place on a brand new island where I don't have a community, and I am able to just interface and interact with hundreds of people every single day. And I was like, this is where my practice comes into work. And it was such a beautiful time in my life. It's also super humbling, like for anybody to work in any sort of service industry where you're just a face or a person. You get to see a lot about yourself as well as everybody else and how they interact with service people. So yeah, the sadhana of everything, and knowing that there is no perfect sadhana, as much as the Kundalini lineage will make you believe that there is a perfect sadhana.
Yeah, we have to wake up at 4:30 a.m. and do practice and then chant for 2.5 hours. Otherwise, we haven't given our lives to God. Like, you know, and we are like not, we had other Kundalini practitioners on already. And yeah, there is something, I think, about creating that strict practice that allows you to flow, maybe eventually. Like, I don't want to hold too tightly to it, but having been in those deep practices where you really are just focused only on the, you know, the vibe or the bhav of spirit, it can make it a lot easier to recognize, like, this juice in this moment is a spiritual practice, and service is like deep. Like, is there anything deeper in service than nourishing other people through food? Like, maybe not. You know, maybe, I guess, maybe nourishing other people through your body, like Elisa, as a mother who's still feeding her son through her body. And then I think also farming. So Jai, can you tell us a little bit about everything? I want to hear both about how you began to share the music and what you're building in Kauai.
Two very separate questions, but we'll see how we can weave these together. So let's go back. The music started with Jai Chand and Grayson, and it was birthed from a very intense Kundalini time in my life where I moved to LA, and I was in that really intense only 2.5 hour sadhana, only before 4 a.m. Grayson and I met. We did 40 days of long Ekankar together, and that kind of like solidified our relationship. And we did the Kundalini thing. We went to classes, and I was working at Rama at the time, and we went to solstices. And at one of the solstices, on probably our like 20th day of Tantra together, we were like, we should do this music thing together. And it was just kind of like a seed that was birthed. And we crowdfunded our first single, which was Gobindi Mukunde. And that was in 2018, I believe. And we recorded in an apartment in Brooklyn during the middle of winter. And we were just so happy to be together and to record and kind of birth this vibrational like love that we have for each other into a sound. And Gobindi Mukunde did really well. And we're like, okay, like, let's do an album. And we ended up meeting our producer and dear friend Ram Dass at Satnam Fest, and he was just the perfect fit to bring the vision into reality. And that's where the Space Between was birthed, and it launched right before COVID was COVID. And we're like, you know what, we don't know really what to do, we have no marketing plan, we're just gonna throw this music out there. And I am so blown away by the success and how far this music has reached, not only just in the Kundalini community, but specifically Hold Yourself has become kind of this staple for a lot of yoga classes. And yeah, so something that was just born from love and connection via Kundalini has become this really beautiful project that I hope continues to touch more and more hearts.
So beautiful. I love the process of like putting it out there without a marketing plan or knowing that it was like an offering that just needed to reach people and let God do God's thing, right? Like, and like maybe it went farther than if you had like, or who knows, right? But that just like those those soul felt and soul led offerings and meeting the person at the right time to help you like bring it into the world and birth that. It was just like, this needs to be here now. And that it also came on the heels of like one of that period of being in really intense practice and sadhana. Like there's so much there with like the flow in our creations and trusting, like when you had that real strong call of creation, that like the mechanism to share it would follow or would reach the people that needed to hear it. Very expansive, I think, for the people listening, because a lot of us get into this sort of like healing practice. A lot of our audience are healing practitioners of this path from the passion and from that heart place. And then we're like awkwardly learning this dance of marketing, or I never set out to become a little marketer. Like I've got the sadhana going on as we record. He's very, very musical. So he's going to be accompanying our chat. But yeah. Amazing. And can you tell us a bit about your farm path and the earth tending path and just how you hold space for people in the like in the healing arts way these days?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the dream, I never knew I was going to become a farmer. Let's just preface it with that. I lived for a couple of years off grid in Costa Rica right after I did a yoga teacher training, and I lived in a retreat center and I was a vegan chef. And I was like, in those moments, I was like, okay, I really want to do this. And that was 2016, 2015. And so my dream, it was like planted in me at that time. And it took many years for it to come to fruition of where do I want to create a center and what will that look like and feel like? And it took for Dane and I to meet and come together, for me to come to the land of Kauai, and love made this possible. I never in a million years would I have ever thought that I'd have the opportunity to tend land on Kauai and or even build this dream. Everything that I do has been spirit-led, and sometimes from the outside, I might look like a total idiot, and I love that about myself, but this project was really born from love, and it continues to be led by love and spirit and the perfect people coming into play to be part of this team. But we ended up finding the land again right before COVID hit and right before the market on Kauai just took this crazy boom. And we started tending to the land and had this dream of doing agroforestry and organic farming, and trying to find a way to make agriculture sustainable on Kauai. For those of you that don't know, Kauai imports over 80% of their food. So on an island that can literally grow food all year round, it seemed like this is what we need to do, like do our part, grow organic produce, and try to create some sort of microcosm of a sustainable future for things that can be replicated over and over again. This process is very challenging. I will just go ahead and say that this has been one of the hardest missions that I've ever been sent on. And it's one thing to have the dream of set out to do something, and then you have no idea the millions of side jobs that you're going to have to learn, like how to build a water catchment or how much time it really takes to mow this guinea grass that grows to about 6 feet tall. And I mean, I could go on for days about the amount of work that it takes. And it really is a labor of love. But the dream of our space is to have a healing space that connects people to the dirt and to themselves, and really just holistic healing from the ground up. My husband's a physical therapist and really looks at things from the holistic lens. So we do a lot of work together, me more on the nervous system, energetic side, and he's very more like Western mind clinical in terms of his approach. So we come together and we do work together on to help support people in any way that we can. And again, it's a slow process. And if Kauai has taught me anything, it's that slow is better and there's no rush at all.
Yay. Thank you. I think that is really some of the most important work that we have to do, is to get back to the earth and learn how to listen to it. And so slow being one of the lessons that you've learned, and probably like, yep, farming sadhana too. Yeah, we have this like holistic business method. And one of the things that we really are trying to figure out what to do in it is how to do business as stewardship. And recently it's come to my attention that one of the ways to be stewards, or maybe the only way to be a steward, is to learn to listen to the land. And so I wonder if you have any other insights you want to share from this work of doing the farming, being with the dirt and the plants, and also, of course, in society. And if you have any insights or advice on how to listen to the land.
I'm just listening. It's a tough question to put into human words. I think the listening is so closely tied to taking time. And for us, it's been a lot of learning to throw our plan out of the window. And there's been many moments where we, quote unquote, thought that we were going to do something one way, and then the land will show us that there's a better way, or we're going to be more supported by doing things differently. For example, we have a stream that runs through our property, and it took us until a really big flood to notice where she wanted to flow, and she ended up overflowing into our orchard and taking down one of our fences. And, you know, I could have seen that as a, oh shit, our fence is down, and like worry about the fence. But really the beautiful thing about that is that the stream overflowed and gave all of this nutrient-rich sediment back to our trees, and they're right now thriving. Our fence still isn't fixed because things take forever here on Kauai, but it's little things like that of her just showing us. And as humans, like, we can do our things that we think are going to be best, and she'll show us always.
Yeah, I love that. There's our plans and then what's happening, right? And I think actually it totally relates to business, and it relates to what Elisa was speaking about what you were talking about like, so we just put it out there and we didn't really know what we were going to do with it, but you kind of like left it up to spirit and spirit, and this earth is spirit, right? I mean, yeah, has one is one, we are of it. And I think, yeah, I do think that as human beings, we can listen, and we can have ideas, and we can play, and then we can shift and flow and move with it. And I really love that you brought out the fertile soil that happens when we allow the water to go where it wants to, right? Yeah, where I live, they talk about clean energy, and it's dams that have destroyed some of the most fertile valleys that North America had. And letting water move in the ways that it wants to seems to be something we haven't learned yet. So thank you for sharing that. So at least we can, you know, start to learn. And I guess it's always is it shunya? Does that mean silence? I can't remember if I got that right, but I think of that. Yeah, ish, right? Or zero or something.
Shunya, zero. Shunya is like listening.
Listening, right? And they're kind of the same thing, right? Come to zero, and then you'll be able to actually hear or let your ideas leave and let the earth lead. And I actually think this can work for online business too, because a lot of us come in and kind of rampage into our business. Like, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to follow these formulas and templates. And we were just teaching about formulas and templates of how to do things like just before this call. And yes, you can take that as a starting point, but if you don't come to zero and listen, then how are you going to know how to be of service to the people who need you? Right. So, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I love it. It's like the creative process too. And I think sometimes some people stop themselves from doing anything because they feel like, oh, I need to have it all planned out before. I need to have my whole business plan. I need to know what my every plot twist of my novel is going to look like before I write the first page or I meet the main character. And it's like, but the creative process, right? Like we have ideas, we have best laid plans and intentions, and then we like meet the baby that is birthing inside of us or gestating, and like it continues to take on new dimensions, and it becomes perhaps most enduring and fun when it can be like co-creative with whatever our muse is, like if the earth is the land or who we're here to support and steward and serve. Can you tell us a little bit about the way that you hold healing space for others these days? I was like looking at this really beautiful offering that you have, and I'm curious how it goes down.
Yeah, I'm holding space in a number of different ways right now. If you can't already tell, I'm a manifesting generator, and I have many different things that I'm juggling all at one time because I get bored quite easily. But what I am really passionate about right now is this offering called The Undoing that I birthed a couple years ago. And I would say it's kind of a culmination of all of the practices that I love in one, specifically being birthed out of my connection to Kundalini energy itself after being so deeply woven in the Kundalini yoga path. I realized there's so much more that I was missing in the more feminine passive side of accessing that energy. So The Undoing is kind of birthed from that place of creating a sacred container with music and breath that allows people to drop into the raw essence of Kundalini energy that's always flowing with us. It's just more heightened when we're in that space together, but it's been really healing for me in my own process and really beautiful to introduce this life force to the community here as well as online.
Okay. Tell me about the online offering. And like, I actually want to know more about it in general. Okay. It's a combination of everything, and you can do it in person. I want to come down there. So I'm on my way. Winter's coming. I'll be there. And also, what does it look like to connect online and hold healing space for people, for you?
Yeah. So online, my clients will either come in with headphones or they'll set up a really good speaker. And everyone's in their own sacred space, and typically a space where they can close the door, get really comfortable. At this point, people know it's really fun having people who have never stepped in, because I have a whole web of community. They're like, all right, let's go. Like, we're going into it. But what it looks like from the outside is people wrapping themselves up in a little cocoon and listening to music. And I believe in magic. And I would say that this practice looks a lot like magic if you're watching it from the outside. But I don't know how it works necessarily via virtual transmission, but it works. And everyone has their own experience, right? Some people have a super active practice and their body is moving into spontaneous kriya. Some people are laughing. Some people are crying. Some people are going into a deep space of meditation. You know, anything is really possible in this space. It's my intention to hold the channel and frequency of Kundalini energy. Again, whatever that means in your own mind. I've had my own Kundalini awakening in 2012, and it's been a constant practice for me to really understand this energy. And I, even after 12 years, I still have no idea how to even explain it. So as I am offering, I am also learning from everyone who's curiously steps into that space. But it's been a really beautiful community of really open-minded, open-hearted individuals who are wanting to drop into the mystery and get out of their minds.
Amazing. Amazing. It's, yeah, I feel like there's so many different directions. I'm also a manifesting generator. So I'm like, oh, I want to have so many directions I want to chat with you about this with. But one that's interesting that I find, like, for really like healing practitioners and space holders, is it's like, how do we put words to the offering, right? And that's something we we see a lot with people in our community and helping to like market their services or how to, and like, you know, it's funny, we talk about this idea of like marketing as a healing modality, but the, for a quote marketer, the amount of time I use the word marketing is like almost nothing, or I don't think it, right? Because it's really about like, how do I put words to this? How do I communicate this? How do I like allow somebody to know like what the transmission is that's going to be shared? And it's interesting too. It's how like the people in your community help you to define it by sharing their own experience.
I agree. It's really hard for people who are in the healing arts to explain and then, I want to say cajole. Nobody wants to cajole people to come to my healing circle. You know, that's actually how I got into copywriting, because I would host weekend events at my yoga studio and teachers would come and they would send their, write up, their like description for the workshop. And I would be like, yeah, I don't, like, I know this. I've gone to this offering before and I have no idea what you're trying to say in this write up, you know? And I know it's not all about marketing, but also like we want people to come and receive the transmissions or the healing, right? And there's something about like, hey, can we be a little bit less passive in our language? And, you know, marketing is like, what's the outcome? And it's like, well, I can't tell you what the outcome is. And so I think, like you said, you believe in magic, right? And I think if we get out of our own ways, listen to both the people who we've worked with who tell us what it was like and what the experience was like, but also like listen to what the call is. Perhaps that's like where some of that marketing juice can come from, because yeah, we can't call people in if we don't call people in. You know, we can't serve if people don't come. I have a funny question. Charging. Isn't it hard and strange to figure out what to charge for your healing arts?
For sure. I just rely on angel numbers. And I say that as a joke and also not.
I love it. We have the same trouble and do that sometimes too. We're like, well, what about 11, 11, 1?
Yeah, that's definitely been a dance for me of both making it accessible and also realizing how much time it's taken me to get to this place and actually honor my worth. I mean, throughout my career, I've given away so many hours of service in devotion, in seva, and I learned a lot through the process of giving it away for free. And I also realize I'm at a point in my life now where I really do value the amount of time that it's taken for me to dive into these practices. And it's like my offering is a culmination of me in so many ways. So to find a number is still challenging, but I feel like I've done a better job these days of putting a number on it.
Yeah, I think Yogi Bhajan said, like, you have to charge, right? Because people will only receive if they pay for it. Otherwise, it won't actually like hit. It won't actually land. It won't actually do it. And I agree. It's we have a coaching client, and she just, it was funny. She just did a healing circle, some yoga, some coaching, and she was called out by someone in her community for how much she charged for it. Then she did it, and it took so much of her energy, and it was like she loved it, right? And it meant so much to her, but it was like, wow, if I had charged less for this, I couldn't have given, right? And I think it's we have to be so careful, right? We have another client who really talks about like how important it is as women for us to feel and be nourished in order to do anything, in order to give, in order to not be a bitch. And, you know, like women's work and healing's work has been undervalued. And I'm not one to really use the word patriarchy, but a lot of it, patriarchy and feminism has like undervalued like women's work and healing work, right? We're meant to, you were talking about doing the dishes. Like, man, I'm willing to go spend $30 for a burger or something in order to not do the dishes. And that shows like a lot of like the value that it is of cleaning and nourishing. And yeah, this question of how to price is hard for us as marketers as well, because we would love to just like give things away, and then all of a sudden we're depleted at the end of the week, at the end of the month, and it's like, oh shoot. we undercharged again and the person thought it was expensive. It's like a funny line. Yeah. I mean, results, right? And then they make money from it and then it's okay and et cetera. But yeah, it's interesting to be spiritual practitioners charging and then spiritual practitioners who are also marketers charging.
Yeah, it's not funny. It goes back to this, like the day-to-day is the spiritual practice and like the or the shadow work or whatever, right? Like even just like, oh, have I priced myself appropriately, or have I shared this offering from my heart and then nobody got it, or everybody got it, and how do I receive being seen? And it's just like a kind of ongoing dance. And that's something that I'm really like loving, and this conversation is kind of clarifying actually for me, because I woke up this morning and Jai, I don't know, I think around the time we met, I took discipleship with Yogananda. And I was in this, very strong, like yogic practice for, took Kriya and in his lineage. And, that time, I feel like we have these times on the spiritual path where you're so in a specific sadhana, so in like this work, and you feel so expanded. And like every day there's like spiritual light bulbs and your mind is being blown, and being on the path is like the clearest thing. And you're like, this is it. And then there's times when, or it's like the longer that commitment has been existing, the more subtle it becomes, or like the more we're asked, like, the sadhana I did at that time is not how I feel called to connect now. And it's like this permission field of like continuing to ask back. And like, for me, it's like literally like the guru, like Yogananda Guruji, and I'll share this with whoever is listening and resonates, but like, whatever you call the divine or sacred, like you, is this really like where you're having me show up, in like marketing, or like, and keep showing up? Or it feels like a journey too, though, of like trusting yourself, of saying like, yes, I feel called to women's embodiment work right now. And I am a disciple, and like the yogis didn't talk about this in my teachings, but I'm being brought here. And like, I think that maybe a lot of us, like, I don't know if light worker is the word or something, but like we're being given very interesting assignments this time around, and like in this time of growth in the collective and the consciousness. And Don and I are always like, we don't really like the word new earth or new paradigm, but like we're shifting, right? Or like this event or ascension that I think a lot of us talk about. But it really feels like, this, yeah, just this confirmation of, we have these periods of intense like light bulbs and awakening, and it feels like, or you start getting into manifesting and the next day you get all the checks in the mail. And it's like, in a way, it's like God's like, keep going. Like, it's more obvious and evident in the beginning. And then it's like that faith walk, like, oh, we're here and we're stewarding or creating, and like that self-trust piece. Have you seen it turn into like a trust dance for yourself over time?
Totally. I can 100% relate with everything you just said. I almost think that at the beginning, we need those peak moments. We need that validation of the intensity that we are going the right way, and we're seeing all the magical angel numbers on the phone and the license plate and all of the signs. And it's not that the signs ever go away, but we get so accustomed to that being our reality. And I, funny enough, have been writing this song, and one of the lines is, I'm searching for peace instead of peak moments. And again, I'm not in this place of, I need to have this like super intense sadhana and like go and sit with ayahuasca for a week and like whatever the thing is. I've done all these things. And at this point in my life, I'm like, can I just have some easefulness and peace, please?
I love that. Oh my gosh, goodness, you guys, I think what I just said was not recorded, because I think you guys could hear it, but my mic wasn't. So we'll see. I'll do a 3 claps or something for our editors, but we'll, to context anything, if that was lost, we were talking about this, like, and maybe that was shared for us, right? This like, that the sadhana for me over time has become less evident, but the commitment to the spiritual path, like for me as a disciple of Yogananda, or like committed to self-realization, because that was really the project, like the self coming forward. But it's like we've been put in such interesting places in this new earth, new paradigm, time, and to just trust that. So Jai, thank you for being an expander of like one of the ways it can look. It's really moving to hear and witness like the way you go about creating in this world, because I think there's also so much courage in going slow right now. And can you speak to anyone, like, how do we even begin the process of slowing down if we're in constant trying to do everything quickly? And for the manifesting generators like us in the house, or multi, you know, like kind of like, and Dawn too, is like, we're always doing like seven things, it feels like, and it's fun. And like, can we play with pace? How do we start?
For me, the place where I had to start was making my naps a priority, because I can go on forever. And even on an island where everything's moving slow and I hardly leave my house, I still have the tendency to go from one project to the next project to the next project. I mean, I definitely have ADD if we want to put it into a box, but I have to almost plan my slowness and put little chunks into my schedule and realize that the slowness is actually making me, quote unquote, more productive, whatever we want to call productiveness and soft entrepreneur vibe, planning the slowness. Like, we have to actually plug those pieces into the schedule, because if not, we're just going to keep running on the fumes that we've been programmed to run on.
Oh my gosh, I needed to hear that so badly. I'm not a manifesting generator. And I probably have ADD if we're playing that game too, because it's the same thing. Just like, keep going. Got to do the next thing. And I'm really good at context switching. I'm not really on Threads, but I had posted on Threads once and I was like, I'm the queen of context switching, which as like, you know, the CEO owner of a marketing agency, it's great for you. But like, as a woman who wants to have a healthy body and, you know, ability to connect to spirit, not just in the everyday, but in slow moments and in silence and stillness and being outside. Yeah, man, you almost got to put it in Google Calendar, you know? And then honor it, I think, because you can put it in the calendar, but you can always override the calendar, right? And keep working. So thank you. That is, this courage of going slow, I feel like, is a really beautiful lesson that every single person in our sort of crazy society probably needs to hear and adhere to eventually. And we're all about, yeah, like, it's not like we're against productivity and doing things, right? You can't have a farm and not be productive as a person. You need to go out there and be in the dirt. But you also, like, in the olden times, in the times before, right? Like, we were hunting and gathering, and we had so much time for stories, even if it was over the winter, right? Like, life was more balanced, even if it was, there's like this Italian term, and I'm probably getting it wrong, but it's like scorgiata, and it means to like gorge yourself on seasonal foods when they're in season. And that's like, I feel like we all, like, that's how we used to live in all ways, right? Like, gorge yourself on quiet when it was quiet, and dark when it was dark. And now we're just really in that controlling, and like you said, in Kauai, like, they're shipping all the food in, even though you could grow it all year. It's like, because we want, you know, our carrots to be baby carrots. Right? So yeah, I think there is, again, it just comes back to listening to the seasons, to the earth, and to our bodies, because I'm sure we can keep doing it, but eventually the body, it lets us know that it can't keep going in that way. And it's generally not kind when we haven't been listening.
Yeah. On top of that, specifically as women, one of the biggest things I've learned is, in terms of my external output of like showing up for an event or scheduling an undoing or a concert or whatever the thing is, I really check my calendar and make sure that I'm not going to be bleeding while putting myself out there in that way. And that's been really helpful for me of just making sure that I'm actually in cycle with myself and honoring my energy. I mean, sometimes things can go awry, but I really try to make sure my external things are like when I'm ovulating or in a follicular space. So that's been really helpful as well.
Yes, I love it. I used to do that. I used to work at a sushi restaurant and I used to be able to give them my like monthly availability. And so I don't know, in my like mid-20s, I started doing that. And I wasn't always able to keep it up, of course, but it made life so much nicer actually to be able to, you know, just be off during that time. I was grouchy this week at my team and I'm like, I'm sorry. I just like, it's just that time where I have a shorter fuse and I shouldn't have to really be holding this space, but we do have to keep holding the space. And I guess that's like also if I was scheduling in my practice, then maybe I would have a little bit more energy to hold that space in a different way. Yeah. Okay. I have a question for you. What's your favorite mantra?
So challenging. The first mantra that I ever really dove into, it always holds a very special place in my heart, and that's Om Gam Ganapate Namaha. And yeah, sitting in the middle of a jungle chanting around a fire and having that mantra open and close the space, there's something that just chanting that brings me right back into that removing of obstacles, whatever those obstacles may be, seen or unseen.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. That brings me to another question, which is, isn't it sometimes annoying when those obstacles get removed because they were, you know, maybe your coping mechanisms or, you know, yeah. Anyway, this is my experience. I was doing Apsahai Hoa for a while and it went really well for me. And then I was like, oh, I see what I did here. I just like created the space for, to remove that obstacle, I actually have to deal with it. Damn.
Yes, I feel like right now, as we are recording this post Pisces eclipse, this is exactly the vibe of what's happening of like, if the obstacle, maybe I've been holding onto this obstacle as my like safety raft. And then what is that vacuum that's created when I let that thing go that I thought was somehow helping me? But the obstacle is also creating such a beautiful portal for something in more alignment to come through. So yeah, I'm putting a rose colored glasses on that. But yes, I will let the obstacles release.
I will. I swear I will. Yeah, I actually think that this is, I think what holds our coaching clients back the most really is, it's like we have this attachment to the things that we don't want anymore in us, right? Like, you know, Elisa and I, part of the reason we're doing this podcast, it was like, we grew up and we both wanted to be actresses. And then we were like, no, don't look at me. I don't know if you've seen I Heart Huckabees, but there's a hilarious scene where she's like, look at me, I need to be seen. And then she's like, no, don't look at me. Like, oh no. And I've like, you know, I feel that sometimes. And I also feel in our coaching clients, they're like, a lot of the time they're like, oh, I just want to stop this or I need to move through this block. And then also they're like, yeah, but I can't do it because I have this block. And I'm like, oh yeah, right. Like, well, do you want to keep it? Because you can, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't know if you believe in reincarnation or not, but you can always come back and do it next time if you want to, right? But also, that's where the lessons are, right? And, you know, that's where our, like, might feel like those obstacles or those blocks, they might feel like love to us because of the way we were raised or because of what society is, or they might feel like success to us, right? So yes, I agree. This Pisces full moon eclipse BS has been very exciting, very exciting. And yeah, I think I'm personally still holding on to some obstacles that I shall release tomorrow. That's my my promise to all of our listeners. I'll have released them by the time this gets released and how that flows.
I love it. I've been starting this process of like thanking what feels like my biggest block. Actually, because we had a chat about family constellations recently with Dawn's family constellations teacher, Amarly, and it was like, oh, thank you. Like the thing that I've been really bugging me for like years now. And it's my biggest business block. I know it. And I feel like it's this sort of like, it always points around like too much, not enough, right? And like more fear of my own success than fear of, or like fear of failure if I really went for something, right? And lately I've just been like, thank you so much for existing. I know this is for my growth. Like, I know that this is like, there's a superpower in here and I'm so excited for it. And I'm not dependent on anything changing for like, yeah. So that's my process with it. And it's been really fun. And I feel like, or it's been that little piece I needed, like instead of this like constant resistance to this thing I don't want in my life, to just try to like wrap it up and love it and be like, yes, like yes to this like kink, right? Like yes to this thing that I'm holding on to as a security blanket because it's familiar and it's like keeping me small, right? And I think that it's beautiful because this conversation, Jai, it's like you've revealed a version of like a surrender path, right? And a bhakti path. Like we've been reading the surrender experiment, or the surrender experiment? Is that the name, Dawn? We'll link it. And it's this, he's a yogi and he kind of talks about the journey of like, he thought his life was going to be kind of Zen-like meditating. And then it's like that story. It's like, well, then you have a cat that shows up and you need milk for the cat and you have a cow. And then you have like all of the things that grow. But like, the beauty that comes through that surrender, and for us to be like, those obstacles, they're going to keep showing up, and they're like that, maybe that wounded healer space too.
Yeah. And I love what Jai said about like when the block is removed, then there's the vacuum, and where is the vacuum going to pull me towards? And Elisa reminded me of, you know, yes, so many of us have that fear of success. Right. And sometimes that's where the vacuum is going to take you. And that's why you're holding on to the blocks, because the responsibility of whatever you're going to have to steward after you remove the block can be scarier than just, you know, coming up against it every day, like, brr, brr, brr. So, yeah. Okay. So I love this conversation, and I want to come to Kauai and have a sound healing experience and then chat with you on your farm. Tell us what's going on right now. I think you have some music that's going to be released by the time this podcast is released. So can you tell us about your musical product, that your baby that's coming into birth?
Yes. So Grayson and I, back in April of... when is this? April of 2022, Grayson and I went into the studio again with Ram Dass, and both of us have exited the form of Kundalini in a lot of ways. And so we're like, let's just see. We went into the studio with literally nothing. We're like, Ram Dass, let's just make music. And again, kind of tied into this surrender path. Like, we have quote unquote nothing. What can we create from thin air? And that is the result of these two tracks that we will be releasing. The first one will release on September 21st, and the second one sometime in October, but they will already be out by the time you listen to this. And they are both non-language track. They are, I guess you can call them light language if we want to put them in that form, but I don't want to call them light language, so we're not going to do that. But it is channeled sound from our hearts, and I'm really proud of these two, and it feels like a departure away from what Grayson and I have done together while still being that same essence of connection and love. So yeah, I'm excited to share those and to have everyone feel into this new rendition of Jai Chand and Grayson.
Cool. We're not making light language for the new earth. We're going to rename it, all of it. No, that sounds really amazing. I can't wait to hear it. How interesting. I love, like, and again, that seems like coming from that zero place or coming from that vacuum. Okay, what are we going to create from our hearts? How is spirit going to lead us? And boy, what the heck is it going to look like and sound like afterwards without being like, I'm going to mind my way into figuring it out. So cool. I can't wait to hear it.
So beautiful. Jai, where can people find you online? Where's the best place or places?
Yeah, the best place is Instagram, still at J_EYE, or wait, I'm messing that up. So impossible to say. At J_EYE_ or something. You guys can help me. Yeah, link it. And then my website is jaichambers.com and my music is Jai Chun and Grayson. And I have other music under Jai as well that is also a departure away from mantra. So there's many, many avenues as a manifesting generator. Maybe I should streamline them all, but we'll see about that.
There's no shoulds in our book.
You are the organizing principle.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us. Yeah, really fun conversation. I'm like, ooh, we're going to title it this and we're going to title it this. So yeah, really inspiring and expansive. And yeah, just thanks for sharing how you've been leading a spirit-led life and surrendering. It's really, like I said, inspiring, expansive. And I think it's important for us to look at these different ways of being in the world and not having to force our way through everything. So, yay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to Theo for joining in to the song. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Softpreneur podcast. If it resonated with your ethos and your soul, we would be so grateful to you if you leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast.
This helps us grow so much, and it also helps more visionary business owners find the show so they can make their dream life their real life. So many blessings and love.